Welcome to the Motherhood Unshackled podcast. My name is Klaus Carrian, mom and parenting coach. I'm here to guide you to challenge anything that takes away your freedom and makes you less than you could be. I'm here to encourage you to let your problem shift away from the safe problem and instead guide you to face your true self within. Your safe problems are things external of you that keep you distracted from what really matters. Like, my child is the problem. If they didn't have this behavior, things would be great. I wouldn't yell at them, and so on and so forth. As long as you believe that the child is the problem and that they have to be fixed, you are both going to keep suffering. I coach moms to show up mindfully always, especially when their children misbehave. Each week, I bring you a message to guide you on this journey we call parenting. My goal is to guide you to experience a deep, authentic connection with yourself and your child through the beautiful moments and the challenging ones. It's time for heartfelt, joyful, and simple parenting. Thank you for spending some time with me today. Hello and welcome to today's episode. Today, we have a special guest joining us, Elizabeth, who is a stress coach for moms. Welcome to the podcast, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
And I'm excited to have this conversation because it's something that I think is always super important, but even more so right now, because I'm noticing, even for myself, like stress and mental well-being, emotional well-being is something that I have really high priority for in my life. But, and I thought that I was doing great. And then recently I started going to vagal yoga classes, which is all about, you know, bringing your body into the parasympathetic nervous system. So more rest and digest instead of fight or flight. And I was like, I don't know if I need it. And then I went and I was like, whoa, I can't believe how much stress I still am holding on to, even though I do have different tools that I use to keep that at a minimum. So it's very interesting. So I just think, like, if I keep it at my forefront and I do things every day to lower my stress and take care of my mental and emotional well-being, and it still feels stress, then what do moms that don't even prioritize it? How do they do it? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. So yeah, I'm excited to dive into this with you today.
Yeah, me too. And I think all of us experience stress. It's not like something we can avoid, right? And we can talk about it. Like, some things are in our control and some are not. And like, life always happens and it will create stress. It's like, what do we do about it?
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. So let's dive right in then. So why is it so important for moms to prioritize their needs? I think we're over the thought that people think it's selfish to do it, but maybe I'm wrong. I definitely am. But if some people still think, like, I just can't do it, I can't, you know, prioritize my needs, what would be the advice you would give them?
Yeah. And I think you're right. There's so much conversation that's been going around the last few years about how it's not selfish to prioritize needs. And I think over time, moms are starting to see that it's like taking care of yourself. It's not just like, oh, self-care. It's like, self-care is literally taking care of yourself and not neglecting your needs and kind of prioritizing sometimes yourself over your kids at times. You might have to do that. I think what is important to understand is, what are the side effects of not prioritizing yourself, of not meeting your needs? And that's kind of like what I have learned on my journey. And I think it's really, really important because I've noticed that when my needs are neglected, when I don't prioritize myself, when I'm running on empty, when I take on too much on myself, I'm doing too much for everyone else and just literally don't slow down to take care of me, even like simple things as sleeping and eating and just having some alone time, because I'm an introvert, I need that to function. I become resentful. I become bitter. I start being very frustrated and annoyed with my family. I start raising my voice. I start feeling a lot more triggered by my kids. And this like negative energy starts to come out from me. I want it or not, but when my needs are unmet, it's like this negative energy starts to come across into the rest of the family, and it starts to seep into other family members. Have you ever like had a day when you're just in a bad mood and it's like radiates through the house and you don't really want it to, but it does, because as moms, we set the tone in our family. We like literally set the foundation. And if we're running an empty, if we're neglected, we start being bitter and resentful, and it really, it's going to come out in your tone. It's going to come out in your voice. It's going to come out in your energy. And there's kind of like a science even behind it, why that happens in our brain. So when you have unmet needs, like let's go with very, very basic, lack of sleep and not eating. Those are the basic needs as foundation for all humans. And when those needs are unmet, your brain senses that as a threat. Right? Like it's a threat. Like you have unmet needs, and it shifts your brain from the part of the brain that helps you make positive choices. Like you and I are right now in our executive functioning part of the brain. I call it thinking brain. It's just a simple term, right? Like our thinking brain right here in our forehead. That's that helps us make positive, logical choices. It like helps us make decisions based on our values. That's one that helps you stay more patient and calm and grounded. And when you have unmet needs, that creates a threat in your brain, and your brain shifts to your emotional part of the brain. And your emotional part of the brain actually shuts off your thinking brain because it's not crucial for survival. And when you are in your emotional part of the brain, that's when you're more reactive. You get more triggered by your kids. Like, have you noticed when you're sleep deprived and you're hungry, it's like a horrible recipe for like when your kids are also like whining or just needing you or just, and you're rushing late. Like it's just such a bad combination. Why? Because your brain already senses your hunger and your sleep deprivation as a threat. Add anything extra on top of that, you will be way more triggered. You will start raising your voice. That's just a natural response from all of us. And that's why I think it is really important to do prioritize yourself. And so then your brain sense that, feels that safety response and is less triggered and is less frustrated by life and just your children being kids, right?
Yeah, so it's really about the reason why it's important is so that you can be a more patient mom, it seems.
Yeah,
a more loving,
yeah.
patient, caring, a place where your children feel safe because they're not getting yelled at all the time for being kids, like you said, right? Yeah, and I love that. And I love that you mentioned like understanding the side effects. So, you know, someone listening, if you haven't, if you don't prioritize your self-care, I would just like recommend that you start to look, okay, like how am I living my life? Just start to be the observer in your life. And how am I reacting to my kids? How are interactions together? And is this what I want? Is this what I truly want? And if you don't, then it's time to prioritize your needs. So you and I have very different lives. I have one daughter who is 6, and I am, we co-parent. So it's 50-50 for us. So the way that I do my self-care is probably very different than the way that you do your self-care, because you have 4 kids at home with you essentially all the time outside of school. So could you just dive into that a little bit?
Yes, you're right. Like it looks different for different moms and different seasons in lives. And sometimes, okay, if you have a brand new baby and you have a newborn, like you're going to have to see things a little bit differently from a different lens. This is not a season for you to like get up a little earlier, you know, and stuff. It will be, you're going to have like about a few months, right, of just survival mode. And that's what it's meant for, right? But it's when we stay there, when our kids are like 3 and 4 and we're still a hot mess and we're a disaster because we just do everything for everyone else and not take care of ourselves. So how does it look like for me? So all my kids sleep through the night. Even my 16-month-old baby, she sleeps through the night already. My kids go to bed between 7:30 and 8:30. Why? For my own mental well-being. So then I can, you know, have a little bit of time for myself and wind down and not just have to go to sleep right away. That is a time in the day where I have some time for myself. Also, I do get up in the mornings before my kids. My kids all get up around 7, so I get up around 6. Okay. And so that gives me some time to create a ritual that calms me and grounds me. And you and I talked about like how, like our stress level is, it's in our bodies, if you want it or not. And we need to have healthy ways of releasing it. We all experience stress, right? And so I have ritual in the morning of like practices that help me center myself and ground myself and just like calm my nervous system. Because when you wake up, your stress level is at its highest. And if you jump into your day right away and rushing, or like open your phone right away and your phone, you know, the blue light and stuff like that, and you start scrolling, that actually increases the cortisol levels and you will notice yourself being more reactive. But if you get up a little bit earlier before your kids and you have some coffee and silence and peace, take 10 minutes to journal. Literally just process your thoughts and putting them on paper, or just literally do like a 5-minute meditation. I love meditations, like guided 5-minute meditations, and just sit there in silence and just literally be present. I oftentimes can't just sit there in silence without my thoughts getting in the way. And that's why I do meditations, because it helps me kind of like stay on track. I will do affirmations, right? Affirmations are also like really positive and super grounding. I love doing stretching. Stretching makes me feel really good. Like it's really calming to my body and nervous system. Like I physically feel good. I mentally feel good afterwards. And no, I don't do this every single day and all of them at once. I'm just giving you some ideas of things that you can do that will calm your nervous system. And so those are some things that I do in the mornings to kind of prep myself for the day. And so when my kids do get up and they start like fighting or resisting, I have so much more tolerance because I'm in a better place myself. Also, if you have kids, even little ones, you know, during nap time, oftentimes we just try to catch up with housework, but I would encourage you to set a timer for 30 minutes. And do something that refills you, right? Do it as soon as your baby falls asleep. I know it's really hard to see the things in the house that need to get done. And it's all about mindset. And you're like, okay, I'm going to prioritize myself for 30 minutes and then I'll take care of the other things. If your kids are a little bit older, you can create quiet time. My kids have quiet time. When they come from school, they get a snack, they get quiet time. Also, during the weekend when they're home, absolutely crucial. When the baby naps, the boys all have quiet time. I literally separate them in different parts of the house. They all have a quiet activity that they do. Sometimes they take turns with listening to podcasts on, you know, or music on a tablet, and we pass it around every half an hour or whatever. But absolutely crucial. This is a time for you to also do something that helps you feel restored and recharged. And it's good for your kids to have that time for themselves. So those are kind of like some tips that I would encourage you. I used to even have a membership back in Minnesota at a gym in the summertime, and I would put my kids into childcare. It would give me 2.5 hours of like by myself. And I would sometimes work out, sometimes literally go sit outside by the pool and like journal and read. Sometimes I would sit in the coffee shop over there and just like, you know, work on internal growth type of things, you know, but like that gave me some space for myself. Those are just some ideas to kind of how to create that time. And I can tell you, you're not going to find it. You have to create it and you have to be intentional about it.
Yeah, I love all that. I think the one that I love, well, there's two that I want to go a little bit deeper on. And it's something, it's funny because before I was a mom, I had a few girlfriends that had kids and, you know, they'd have 2 hours to themselves and all they would do would be laundry and cooking and cleaning the house. And I'm like, that's not alone time. Like,
no, it's not. Something
for yourself. And I get at that point, I wasn't a mom. So it's like, quote unquote, easier for me to say that. But now being a mom, like still. So, you know, if let's be realistic, there is cleaning, there is cooking, there is stuff that needs to be done. But I think, like you said, like just setting a timer and taking before you do anything, the first 30 minutes, do whatever, have a 30 minute nap if you want to, just sit there and drink your coffee, sit there and do whatever. Right.
Yeah. And I would encourage you to do it screen free. That's the thing. That's our go-to. And I mean, believe me, I'm human too. And sometimes I'm so tempted to do that. And I literally have to leave my phone at a different part of the house. So I can, it's forcing me to do something different, right? Yeah. Because my tendency is to want to just pull out my phone and scroll on Instagram. And then it's like 45 minutes past and I mentally don't feel any better.
No. And that's a great tip as well. Yeah. And in the quiet time, which is really interesting because that's what we do. My daughter goes to bed early. And I think you said you put your kids to bed because you want your alone time, but it's also so valuable for them to be in bed.
Yes. They need to be in bed. Yeah. Because they have, you know, my kids get up at like 7 for school time and like, they need to get that rest and sleep. Otherwise they're cranky and they're moody. And then that affects you and you're cranky and moody. You know,
exactly.
Everybody benefits.
Yeah. So
them going to bed early.
Yeah. So that's definitely great. But yeah, I'm not someone who, my daughter goes to bed early as well. But I'm not someone who can wake up before her. Just doesn't work with me. So what we do is we do the quiet time. And I think there's something so valuable to be said about that. And I love that you do it as well. Because as much as we enjoy it, our kids value from it so much. They get to tap into their creativity. They get to tap into their imagination. And they need that space too. Just like you said, you're an introvert and you need your alone time. Like, if we look at the world of human design, I am a projector and I feel other people's energy super like a lot. And so is my daughter. She's a projector. She feels everybody's energy. She needs time alone outside from everybody else's energy to refill herself. Right. So I think it's very valuable. It's something that we do in our house as well. Because I do not get up before her, but our thing is in the morning, first thing, unless she's in school, but on days where she doesn't go to school or weekends or summer, it's just quiet time. Pretty much first thing in the morning, she does her thing, I do my thing. And then we come together where both our cups are both filled up and then everybody gets along way better. Everyone has the patience and the strength to be around each other. So that's a really, really valuable thing that people can start to do. Now, I want to dive into what happens if you do start to implement quiet time and your kids resist it. So I like your feedback on that. For me personally, what I discovered is like the first time they may not listen. It may take a little bit of time to get them used to this new thing. But if you make it a routine and it's not a punishment, it's just, this is how it is, right? Then they grow to really love it and to look forward to it. And when it's a routine, then it actually makes them feel safe. So I think you just need to get past that point. If you have any tools for that, that would be great. For me, the only one that I really notice with my daughter is usually like 99% of the time, she's great. Sometimes after, you know, 30 minutes or whatever, she gets bored or wants to play with me or wants me to pay attention to her. And then my thing is I just go back to connection before cooperation. So I know that if I take 5 or 10 minutes to connect with her, then she's going to go back to do her own things afterwards, just naturally, right? So wondering if you have any tips for that.
Yes, I do have multiple tips for it. One of them is having a conversation with your kids ahead of time, you know, and be like, hey, you know, I want to try something new. I've learned about myself that I am kind of grumpy when I don't have any alone time. And it's really good for our brains to have some rest from one another and have some alone time. So we're going to all have alone time at this time of the day, you know, or whatever. What are some activities that you can do by yourself? And like, let's make a list, you know, and like they can come up with it, you know, and they can help you. Let's just say you have one kid that you're talking about right now, because you can do that separately with the other kids. Let's make a list of some things that you can do during quiet time. What kind of toys can you play? And obviously, like for me, my kids love magnet tiles. They like Legos. Those are kind of like blocks, things that they can do different things with. That's not like a one, you know, function toy. So my kids, that those kind of things keep them occupied longer. The other thing is when you do start it, I have this timer. I don't know if you use it, but it's like, it's an, you can get it on Amazon, and they're just a timer for visual timer for kids. And so it goes up to 60 minutes. My kids like see it and I'm like, okay, we start the timer with 60 minutes. Now it's 60 minutes, right? Like it's used to start less than that. And then that really kind of like helps them like visually see how much time is left. And so then they're less chances for them to come to you like, hey, when is it done? When is it done? Right. And I would, if you have younger ones, I would make it clear, like, this is mama's timer. You don't get to use it. Only mama gets to turn it, because if they turn it too far, they break it. So yeah. And keep it at a surface. They can't, you know, it's not like super easily accessible. So I use that timer with my kids. And then the other thing that was really helpful for me that a friend of mine taught me is you start out playing with them for the first few minutes. Sometimes it's really, if you just say, okay, you have quiet time, go to your room, you start playing. Sometimes it's hard for the kids to get engaged into something. Like you just put them in a room, there's a ton of things to do, and they just get sometimes overwhelmed. Sometimes they're bored and they just literally need you to start an activity with them. And like, just even for 5 minutes, you literally just get on the floor with them. You start playing with them. And then first of all, that does that connection that you were talking about, right? It creates that connection. And second, they start getting engaged in it. And then they are more likely to continue it. And then I'll use the same timer and I'll set a timer for 5 minutes and I'd be like, okay, mama's going to play with you for a little bit. I'm talking about like younger ones over here, like kids probably 7 and under. And then once the timer rings, this is going to be mama's alone time and your alone time. And you get to tell mommy to leave and you're going to close the door behind mommy and you're going to have your alone time. And so when I used to do that with my 3-year-old, it was really good because he would be like, okay, and now it's my alone time. Okay, bye, mommy. You need to leave. And then he gets to, you know, like we set the timer, start out with like 20 minutes or whatever, and then increase it. And so then it's like, it's more of like, you know, it's not like a punishment. It's like, oh, we all have alone time. And even like explaining to your kids, mama needs alone time in order to be more patient, to be more happy, to be more kind to you. And I think as kids get a little bit older, they will understand that. They see the value. And like my kids, they know that. And I'll tell them, I'm like, I feel really frustrated and overwhelmed right now. I need some space to calm down. Please like go play outside with your brother. Like, don't bother me for about 20 minutes or whatever. And they've learned already how that works and how it benefits me and like it benefits the rest of the family because I'm feeling better.
Yeah, I love that. And I love, and you, as you were talking, it reminded me of things that I've done in the past, like to establish this as a routine in our life. But I love the visual timer. So is that what it's called? Just a visual timer for kids? Yeah, on Amazon.
Yeah, I think so. Just on Amazon, I bought it. Yeah. Just a visual timer for kids. There's like a ton that will pop up for you. Mm-hmm. They're about $20.
And I think an important thing that you said is that you said now it's about 60 minutes, but it didn't start off that way. So again, like that's a great thing to bring that awareness. Yeah, maybe ultimately you want an hour to yourself, but like start off with, you know, do 10 minutes or 15 minutes for like a few days. And then after 4 or 5 days, once they've kind of gotten used to that, then add 5 minutes every day until you've reached the time where they can handle it. And you get the time that you need, which is really, really valuable. And I like what you said about, starting the activity with them. And then also like asking them what to do. Again, like you mentioned, starting the activity with them is exactly that connection before expectation, before cooperation, right? For us, like we usually do it first thing in the morning, but we take our time in bed. We do sleep together, my daughter and I, and we take our time in bed. Even if you don't sleep with your child, you can just like go snuggle up with them or they can come snuggle up with you when they wake up and you can just relax and play and tickle each other and kiss each other and have some good connection. And then they'll be way more willing to participate in that alone time.
And yeah, my boys love for me to like rub their back in the morning, like nice and slow. They like, two of my boys just absolutely like love it. And it's just like learning about your kid, like what your kid, you know, likes and enjoys and how you can connect with them.
100%. And it's also like that first thing in the morning, their brains are also like, if we look at brain waves and things like that, they're also so suggestible, right? It's kind of like they're in hypnosis state at that point. So it's a beautiful time to connect with your child so that they have that stored in their long-term memory and their short-term memory, right? Like that loving and connection. And also, it's a beautiful time to rub their back and have conversations about, values for your families or how the day is going to run out or play out or things like that. It's first thing in the morning and last thing before bed is like such powerful because of the state of their brain waves. It's such powerful times to connect. And then, yeah, one thing that I do, my daughter is all about crafting and creating. So, typically I'll feed her breakfast and then she has whatever she wants to do during her quiet time. And then I leave. So obviously sometimes she starts her things as I'm preparing breakfast. And it's just fun. Like you can enter without having to necessarily always interact with them. It can be like, oh, you started that coloring. Like, I'm really excited to see what it's going to look like when you're done. Or like, just kind of like, little things like that. Limiting their choices, I think. I don't know if it's something that you've looked into a little bit, but limiting their choices. So if they're like in a playroom where there's 100 things, you think that they'd be willing to play with a bunch of stuff, but really it's too
No, they get
overwhelming for
over,
them.
it's too overwhelming. And I think that is
Yeah.
something a few years ago, I came across an influencer that taught decluttering. And around that time, I decluttered a lot. And we did get rid of a ton of toys that my kids didn't play with. So realistically, right now, my kids don't have a lot of toys. So they have a box of Legos, they have a box of magnet tiles, some bigger Lego-ish blocks, and that's it. Like, legit, my kids don't have a ton of toys. So then, first of all, there's less to clean up, less overwhelm for you, less clutter for you, like less things for you to do. That's one thing. And then the other thing is it's just less overwhelming for them. Yeah, less choices to choose from.
Yeah, same. My daughter at this point has way too many toys, but she but I do notice, like, if she's like, I'm bored, I don't know what to do, it's like, all right, it's time to declutter. Because if you don't know what to do, it means you have too much stuff around you. You have too many options, and we need to reduce those options. Yeah, definitely. So like her toys are put away and she's typically in the living room kitchen area when she's doing her alone time. So I will just like put out one thing, just like put out the magnet tiles, put out her Barbies, or put out if she's coloring, then she can do that, or put out the Legos, because the more options they have, then they just can't do it. I think of it as like almost like when you're in college and you're trying to study, and then you just all of a sudden the cleaning looks more attractive than studying, and doing laundry looks more attractive, and cooking looks more attractive. But at the really what you're trying to do is you're just trying to declutter your environment so that you can mentally focus. And that's the same thing with them. Like, they need to declutter their environment. And when it is decluttered, they can focus on being creative and imaginative and playing by themselves, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, like in the clutter, I mean, I don't specialize in this. This is not my specialty. I have friends that, specialize as like decluttering experts, but clutter does cause stress. It does
Yeah,
cause
it does.
overwhelm. And there are, I would encourage mamas who are listening to look into like courses or books or, trainings that would encourage you to declutter, because literally when I decluttered my house, I felt so much lighter, so much more peace and calm, so much more mental space and energy, because you don't see all these things that you have to do, right? That visual reminder. And it just feels like so freeing. So if you're listening to this and like your home is cluttered, like you can reach out to me and I can direct you to other women that I am connected with that specialize in this. But clutter definitely something that will create that overstimulation for you and the kids. It's not just you, and it will create that overwhelm. And when you're overwhelmed, you are tending to be more triggered and frustrated with your kids.
Agreed. And my favorite book for that is Simplicity Parenting. I don't know if you've read it or not, but it's such a great
No.
read. Yeah, it's a very good read. Okay, so we've talked about a lot here. Do you have, other than like the ones that you shared a little bit before, do you have any other specific activities, strategies to calm your nervous system and to relax it?
I think so. When I'm feeling frustrated and overwhelmed with my kids, I'm highly sensitive. I'm an introvert. There's a few things that I do. First, if everyone is physically safe, I remove myself from the situation. I will get my kids occupied. Oftentimes, I turn on screens, put the baby in the high chair, strap her in, give her some snacks. And I will literally remove myself from a situation because I know that if I stay in that overwhelming, frustrating environment, which is causing that stress for me, I will eventually get to a point where I blow up. I know that about myself and I recognize that. And oftentimes I have to be like, I need to take a break. I live in Florida. It's nice outside. I will literally step outside on the porch. But I used to live in Minnesota. I would just go to my room. And I would just remove myself and tell the kids, like, I need a 10-minute break to calm down. And when I do that, I leave my phone in the other part of the house because I will be tempted to scroll on it. And that does not help me calm my nervous system. It makes me even more frustrated later on. And so I will just literally lay on the bed and I will close my eyes and I will just take some deep breaths. Deep breathing is so powerful to calm and your nervous system and just like de-escalate you, right? When you're just so tense and overwhelmed. I will also visualize myself in a peaceful and calm place. Like I literally sometimes visualize myself like floating and like on a gulf of water and just having this bright sunshine go onto my face. And then like it's just all that bright energy is like pushing away all that negative energy through my limbs, that frustration, overwhelm. Like, I say affirmations like I am calm, I am grounded, I am peaceful. I breathe in peace. I breathe out stress. I breathe in calm. I breathe out tension. So you got to kind of figure out what really like works for you. And so sometimes it's just literally laying on the bed with my eyes closed and just being there for like 5 minutes, doing absolutely nothing, not even any of the techniques, just laying there, removing yourself from situation will already calm your mind and body. Sometimes I ha depends if I'm like angry. Sometimes if it's like I'm overwhelmed, that really helps me. If I'm like actually angry and frustrated, like I have to kind of move my body a little bit. I have to pace myself. I have to like walk outside and I'll just like physically just move a little bit my body, So it depends kind of like what you're feeling in the moment. But those are some techniques that I use and that I teach with my clients that like calm your brain and mind and body. So,
I love that. Super powerful. And I think, the people listening to this may or may not have the emotional regulation that you do, because not everybody can catch themselves before they're about to blow up, right?
yeah.
So I think what's important to know here is that to break the cycle of reactivity, and I talk about this a lot, there's three places you can do it. It's before, which is what you were mentioning, during, or after, right? So it doesn't matter where you catch it. You can just, like, once you realize, holy shit, like, I just blew up, or I'm about to blow up, or I'm blowing up right now, at any point, you can stop and take that alone time to reset your system, to breathe, to release the anger, whatever it is, right? And you said deep breathing. One thing that I've learned in the vagal yoga, which is all about switching your nervous system from the fight or flight to rest and digest, right? And it's just breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth. So just breathing out through your mouth is super powerful. And then if you can try to make the exhale longer than the inhale within
Yeah.
5 minutes, you are back into your parasympathetic nervous system, into the rest and digest, right? Into the calm and relax. So that's a super quick, easy one that you can do as well. Another one that I really like to do, and I don't do this pro, I don't, I do this more proactively than in the moment, but it's vagal switch. So if you can even try it right now as I'm explaining it, but you look straight ahead, your head does not move, and all you do is you turn your eyes as far left as you can possibly do it. It feels really weird at first and could even hurt. And you want to keep it there for at least 30 seconds. And you're going to blink and that's totally fine. And what happens, and then after about 30 seconds, you bring it back to center. You blink a few times and then you bring it all the way to the opposite side. So I think we started left and then we do right. And what that happens is it's literally you're opening up your perception, your perspective of things. And you're going to, if you do it, the goal is to do it until you yawn. When you yawn, it's a sign that you're switching gears. It's a sign that you're de-stressing. It's a sign that you're feeling more relaxed. So I just do it until
I've
I
never
yawn.
Heard of this one. This is so neat. I've never heard of this one. What I can tell you is though, when you proactively prioritize your needs and take care of yourself, you will have a lot less of those moments where you blow up. That's one. And second of all, like when I proactively started doing deep breathing on a regular basis, when I'm calm and grounded to begin with, like in my morning routine or whatever, I noticed that when I would get frustrated, when I would start feeling like that tension, my body already knew what it needed to do to calm me down. And it would naturally just get me into like deep breathing. And then I would catch myself. I'm like, whoa, why am I deep breathing? And it's like, my body knew that that's what it needed to calm me, because I've been practicing it outside of the heated moment. Because in the heated moment, right, your part of the brain that helps you remember these skills gets shut off. And so that's why it's so important to do practice these things outside of the moment. And like, I even teach my clients creating like a when then statement. Like when I feel frustrated, when I feel tension, or like when I start noticing my tone changes, then I will blank. Like, what are you going to do? Like, let's create a plan ahead of time and like repeat it to yourself, practice it. So then when the moment comes, your brain is like, oh, that's what I need to do. Oh, that's what's going to help me. You're a lot more likely to remember it.
Yeah. And that's key. The key is doing it proactively, because like you said, your body, it's not something that like you have to remember, like, how do I breathe again? Like, is the inhale longer? Is the exhale longer? Like, your body knows what to do. And then it just becomes natural to you. So yeah, I love that. This has been amazing. Thank you. Is there any last little wisdom that you want to leave with the audience before we leave today?
Yes. Nobody benefits when your needs are neglected, and nobody suffers when you take care of yourself. So take care of yourself, mama.
I love that. Nobody suffers when you take care of yourself. I love that. That is amazing. Thank you. And I do see that you sent me a freebie to share with the audience. Can you tell us a little bit about that freebie?
Yeah. What is it? Yes. So there's a few things on there that you can choose from. One of them is a training. It's called Be Less Triggered. So it's practical things that you can do today in your day-to-day life to reduce that overwhelm in your mind. And so you feel less triggered by your kids. And then another one is positive affirmations that you can tell yourself, like when you are, like, let's say you lost your cool with your kids, right? You have this mom guilt that comes over you. At least I do. And I know so many moms I talk to, and that negative self-talk. So it's like positive affirmation. It's a recording that you listen to that helps you redirect your mind and shift into a different mindset so that mom guilt is not consuming you. And so, yeah, you get to choose for which freebie that you want, or both, you know. And you can also check out my podcast. It's called Emotionally Healthy Legacy. So a lot more resources and helpful support over there.
I love that. And it's interesting. I love that it's a recording too, because like we just said, like you can probably listen to the recording every morning when you start your day. I'm not sure how long it is. Even when you're getting ready, like in the bathroom, I love having little things to listen to as I'm doing my hair and makeup and things like that. But I love that it's a recording, because all you have to do is remember to hit play and then you don't have to remember what to say, but it'll shift your state. I really love that. So you have your podcast, your website, everything will be in the show notes. And then I think you hang out the most then on Instagram.
Yes. Yes. Perfect. That's where I hang out most and create my content. I'm experiencing with other platforms right now, but Instagram is my main one.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your wisdom.
Yeah, thank you for having me here.
If you desire guidance from me every week, make sure to subscribe to this podcast and also follow me on Instagram or TikTok. I want to leave you with this quote. Great parenting happens when you start controlling yourself and stop controlling your child. Parenting is more about reparenting yourself as it is about parenting your child. This is a process. This is a journey, and I am here to guide you one connection at a time.